All right, let's get to the magic hat.
It's the magic hat.
Yeah, baby. That's what I've been waiting for.
Bring it on. Basically, a bunch of topics.
Yeah.
And we have no idea where the sports gods want us to go.
Okay.
Until Swag pulls it out of his magic hat.
Hocus pocus. Where are you?
Now you see me. Now you don't.
It's magic.
It's simply what it is. It's magic. We don't know what's going to come out of this hat.
Where is that rabbit?
Abracadabra, MFers. Let's do the magic hat.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
All right, welcome back in. It's 6:38. We're a little over. It's Magic Hat Thursday.
Yeah, you got excited about the Pacers there.
I did. I put the poll question up, too. Dirt's hot take. Is the Pacers winning the NBA Finals the greatest thing to ever happen to the league? Yes or no? At Dirt and Sprague. Thank you to our listener, Dustin, as well. An exceptional bang-up job turning Jody and Burt Cold into Muppets. That needs to be a T-shirt. How is that not a T-shirt?
I will wear that T-shirt. I know Jeff Rust will wear that T-shirt.
I just don't think you could do the logo.
We need to find a way to revamp
for licensing purposes.
Our T-shirts. You know, have some, you know, nice ones in there, and this is one that people want.
I mean, it's a great look.
It's a great T-shirt.
I appreciated Bert being turned into a Muppet, but I actually think it's better to use real Bert from Sesame Street versus Bert Cold himself.
The actual Bert Cold, just real Bert.
And
with
then you got
Jody.
Muppet Jody wearing that jacket that clearly somebody's like, hey, put this on, it makes you look better.
Welcome to the Blazers, Shaden!
Let's get to the magic hat.
All right. What's happened to these people?
Yeah, this is, I don't know if you saw this yet.
I don't know.
I don't know what has happened to these people. Maybe it's capitalism.
Which peoples?
Maybe it's desperation because financially as a country, we're pretty illiterate with our money.
Yeah, we tend to be indulgent.
Yeah, we're pretty dumb, okay? Brady Henderson wrote this, and I thought this was a really sneaky story. In an effort to reestablish what was once one of the NFL's best home field advantages, the Seahawks are trying to curb the resale of season tickets to fans of the opponents. In an email to season ticket holders, a copy of which was obtained by ESPN, the Seahawks wrote that, quote, renewal eligibility may be impacted if it was determined that your tickets were primarily used for resale purposes, end quote. Basically, and I know this, Swag, you know this.
Yeah.
I went to a Niner game 2 years ago. It was a home game for the Niners.
Yeah.
A lot of red.
I remember it was either a Monday or a Thursday.
It was a Thursday night game.
A
lot of red and gold in the building.
And there was a ton of, I was stunned. I couldn't believe how much red was in that building. From 2012 to 2019, the Seahawks had the second best home winning percentage in the NFL. Their 7-1 home record in 2020 was tied for the best in the league. But over the past four seasons, Seattle is tied for 20th in home winning percentage.
It's so funny that they're going to try.
Where's the 12s? I was told the 12s were the greatest.
I mean, I'll tell you where the 12s are. The 12s, the actual diehard passionate fans, for the most part, have been priced out. That's the problem that happens. And this happens. It's not just a Seattle problem. It happens everywhere when you have success. But this is like, it's hilarious to me that Seattle is going to try and crack down on this when they're an organization and a business that's printing money instead of simply saying, maybe if we lowered our prices, we would widen out the pool of people that will be willing to buy tickets. And if you did that, you know what you would do? You would get more diehard, passionate fans that would be able to afford to go and wouldn't be looking to sell their ticket every single week. Those things have gotten so expensive that only a select number of people can actually buy them, and the vast majority of them don't care that much about the Seahawks. It's a thing to say that you have, and for a lot of them, it's a resale thing because you can make a ton of money off of them from opposing fans. And so I think lowering the overall ticket pool in terms of prices is how you get that place back to where it was.
You have rich people wanting to make less money than they did the years
prior. I know.
Prior.
Novel concept. It'll never happen, but I love that they're going to try and crack down on this one. That's a very simple, easy fix.
I do think that's a good idea, but like in theory, it's not how teams usually operate, but they do need to weigh what is more important for you.
Yeah, what do you want?
Winning the games because your home field is so loud, or saying, hey, we're going to make 9% more on ticket sales this year. Like,
what's more important?
Well, in this country, it's about the money.
Sure.
It's not about the people.
Especially when you're run by the Vulcans. But I think if you had an owner in there who had a little bit more thought of the fan base and what's best for the overall team long term, Like, it's embarrassing what's happened to that place, man. And this happens a lot of places. It's not just Seattle. Again, we don't want to just pick on them, but that was
that
one
one's
of
turned egregious.
That is one of crazy. The toughest places to go play, and you knew it the second your team was going into Seattle, and now it has turned into a road game for the Seahawks for three or four games a year for them.
Yeah.
Next up, I think this is from last week. Birds the word. Do you remember?
Do you remember?
Birds the word.
I should have asked you what you had left over from Magic.
Okay. All right, pass.
Move on.
It wasn't a Larry Bird segment.
It was not a Larry Bird segment.
What would it have been? Birds the word.
Was it a Dylan Gabriel birds. Talking to birds thing? Did you have that on your bingo card?
No. I don't know.
Dylan Gabriel claims
he talking to birds in
he
Cleveland?
Claims he can talk to birds in Hawaii.
Dylan Gabriel on a gummy is my favorite Dylan Gabriel.
Why do we play football outside, man?
I like grass. I like sunshine.
It should be so hot outside.
Somebody spliced together a video of him doing bird calls and then a bird calling back to him. And this had to have been after the draft. We can go pull the audio. It had to have been after the draft. And they were basically like, what did the bird tell you? And he responds by saying, Cleveland's going to take me in the whatever round with this pick. And it was the exact round and the exact
was it really?
Pick. There's no way that he said this before he was drafted. Had to have been spliced together after the fact.
All right. Quick. How many can hoist so far?
Oh, yeah. This is a pretty this is a good one for a quicker one because I want to carry over Magic. We got a lot of Magics today.
Yeah.
I will ask you guys this. So my Bravos took 42 games to get to 500.
Yes.
You finally got back.
And then we got to game 43 and we said, we like being under 500.
No, you lost.
Let's lose the rubber. Let's lose the getaway game to the Nats. So they're one game below. I don't know your team's exact record, Dirt, and I know the Doyers are having a nice start, but of course, Riggins has got to complain about something. How many teams in Major League Baseball through 40 or more games? That's about where we're at right now.
Give or take.
Long way to go. How many teams, much like we ask or talk about in the NBA, how many do you guys think legitimately can win the World Series this year? How big is that list for you? Because there's going to be one to two that are not in your mind right now that are going to make a run.
I think it's a wider pool than I'm willing to give it credit for because it's baseball.
Seven or eight.
I would say just shy of 10. As I'm taking a scroll through the big leagues,
so you got
just
about
shy
nine?
Of 10.
So about nine?
Somewhere in that range.
Are the Mariners one of those teams for you guys?
Not yet.
Not yet. They got to add a bat at the deadline.
But that division does suck.
I mean, it has sucked.
That division's
for a while.
There for the taking.
It was
somebody.
There for the taking last year, too. And what happened?
You know, the Rangers haven't seized any opportunity.
New team, new dream.
There are four teams within a game and a half of them in first place. So it's not it's not a great division, but outside of the Angels, everybody else is above 500.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be we're going to run away with this thing. They don't have enough offense to do that.
There's probably six in the National League that if they get through the gauntlet could win it.
Yeah,
Phillies, Padres, Dodgers,
Cubs.
Yeah, I might throw the Mets in there. Are you Mets?
Yeah, of course.
My team can't. I don't even.
Well, I said the Phillies instead of the Mets, and the Mets are in first place. Should I put the Phillies in?
No,
there for
the Phillies
you guys?
Can get.
Phillies
there.
Have to be on that list, dude. They got enough talent and enough in the rotation.
Are
that
your
they,
Giants one of these teams?
I don't think so.
Okay,
I mean,
so
I'd like
five.
Maybe. I mean, they're having a good year. They're better than I think people expected them to be, but I wouldn't count them as a World Series contender.
Okay,
they don't have a dominant thing.
Any others from the Central, or is it just the Cubbies?
That's just the Cubs.
Just the Cubbies. The rest of the Central's terrible.
Brewers are bad.
The NL Central's maybe the worst division in baseball. Yeah.
The Cardinals are being the Cardinals, but I don't see them.
Cardinals are fine. They're going to fall off at some point. They've won 9 out of 10. Everybody else is below 500 in the Central.
All right. I just wanted to ask you guys at this point, 40 games in, how many teams you think can win the World Series?
Yeah, and there's been a few massive disappointments this year. Baltimore mainly being one.
Baltimore's up there.
Baltimore's easily the most disappointing team in the entire sport.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, and they
My
were a team that came
for
in.
Them were high.
They could win the division. Look at that. The Yankees are banged up, and that didn't work out.
All right, more Magic out of the old hat, and we'll do it next on The Fan. A couple things rolling in response to Dirt's take that the Pacers winning the NBA Finals would be the greatest thing to ever happen to the league. Somebody says, no, the Knicks winning it, I'm sure, would probably be the greatest thing to ever happen to the league.
Yeah, look, people are confusing this. Like, somebody texted in, we watched LeBron come back from a 3-1 deficit in the NBA Finals. Never been done. But like, I'm not saying it's the greatest accomplishment. I'm not saying it's a better accomplishment than what LeBron James did. I'm just saying in terms of hope.
I told you it was a hot take.
It's a rant. Like, the Indiana Pacers...
The Indiana Pacers.
I get what you were saying.
Winning an NBA championship gives hope to everybody. LeBron coming back from 3-1 is one of the greatest individual things that we have ever seen done in professional sports. I'm not taking away from that. You know who doesn't grow on a tree? LeBron James. LeBron James is not gettable for every NBA franchise. But having a team with two All-Stars is doable for every NBA franchise.
Right now, no is winning that poll question. 67.5%. One listener says, if you're a Blazer fan that said no, I hope you have a nightmare and you S the bed.
Yeah, that's the whole point. It gives you hope as a random fan of a small market team who doesn't have Victor Wembanyama or LeBron James or Giannis or Jokic. Not having to have one of those guys and win a title would be massive for the league.
And then AJ just sends us the gif of Anthony Edwards telling you to suck it,
which is great.
Which he probably will. I would be shocked if, not shocked, I would be surprised if Indiana won, but you got to give them a chance. They're in the conference final.
See, that's the one thing I'd strike from what I'd say going forward. Shocked.
Yeah, I won't say shocked. Shock's the wrong
surprise,
word.
Surprised, shocked. Like, I'll be surprised having thought what I thought at the beginning of the year, but if it happens at this point, not shocked. What's the Magic Hat providing?
A Texas Euro.
Ooh, a Texas Euro. When I give you a Euro to eat, what's on a Texas Euro? Is it brisket instead of the lamb beef mix?
Are we talking gyros here? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah.
Talking gyros?
Euro.
love a good gyro.
I'm talking gyros.
Okay, now you're speaking my language.
What is the percentage of Americans that call it a euro versus a gyro?
47-53 gyro.
You think it's that close?
I think gyros are 47.
Really?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of gyros out there.
Okay, what's on a Texas euro, gyro?
Brisket, probably a little barbecue brisket. Sauce. Some sort of cheese, some sort of thick cheese.
Maybe some sort of
maybe like a chipotle
salsa,
spice.
Chipotle, yeah. Tzatziki something
instead
there.
Of the traditional.
Yeah, I could see that. Okay. A little bit of heat, a little bit of kick.
Damn, that sounds good.
That does sound really good. Yeah. I'd eat that gyro.
Euro is a top five food item for me. If I'm in doubt.
Top five?
Listen, if I'm at a food.
That's a hotter take than my Pacers take.
Dude, have you had a good Euro?
I have. Top five?
It's crisp, it's refreshing, it's filling, but not fooling. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not like walking around with this weight that I'm uncomfortable with.
I love a good gyro. It's good. I mean, it's good food option.
If I'm at a food cart pod, I almost always will just end up choosing the Euro because do I want that mac and cheese? Do I want a big ass fried chicken sandwich right now?
Yeah, the gut bomb's a little bit different.
It's a little different.
Not as much of a gut bomb, I'll grant you that.
So something we didn't take away from the draft lottery, the Spurs got the 2 pick.
Yes.
I've thought about this for 2 days. If you're running the Spurs, are you throwing the 2 pick in a trade for Giannis, or are you using the pick?
I've been pretty surprised. Now, maybe it's posturing from the amount of reporting that says they're not planning on trading the pick at all. And they think that 3 point guards can coexist, which is essentially what they would have.
Because Harper, Fox, Castle, and Harper.
Harper's going to be the second pick, and they already had two others. They added Fox at the deadline. Castle was the rookie of the year. Mm-hmm. You're going to go 3 point. I would trade the pick in a heartbeat. I absolutely would.
Okay.
Now's your time with an asset like that, especially if you love the way Castle works. Like, he won rookie of the year. He had a good year. You think he can turn into something, and you added Fox, who's still relatively young in his career. Now you got an asset that you can play with, and if I would rather have Giannis and an unproven point guard.
Swag, if I told you Harper is going to be a clone of Cade Cunningham but a lefty, are you trading that pick or are you keeping that pick? Wemby's 21.
I guess the question is for Giannis, how much other stuff do I have to trade? I don't necessarily care about that particular player given what's on my roster. How much more do I have to trade?
I miss a salaries match in future first round picks.
2 and 14 and Keldon Johnson and Vassell and probably I don't know how Castle's not thrown in that deal. They're gonna want a young good player.
Yeah.
Who else are you throwing in that?
Yeah. They want their SGA trade out of this.
And if you already have Fox.
Probably. If I have Fox.
Fox, Giannis, and Wemby next year, where do you put that trio amongst the star like the championship contenders in the NBA?
Now I'll say
this. Roll with that.
I'll say this. You guys know me. I'm a big Giannis guy. Got the book. My dream is to get a signed jersey. I'm keeping the pick. I'm taking Harper.
You go young, just young team. Hope it pans out.
I
want
to talk to Tyler Rucker about that, like where he is in terms of how people are viewing him from the combine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be rushed. I'm not going to, you know, take up all my cap space. And I love Giannis.
If I'm the Spurs,
if that doesn't hit in 2 years, you might be like,
yeah. If I'm the Spurs and I want to support Mitch and my new head coach, then I'm keeping the pick because then you are allowed a little more runway for development. If Giannis is going to move, Giannis wants to go, okay, here we go, right away, let's go. And I think if Giannis, if it doesn't work right away, there's pressure to make a coaching change to somebody.
I find this, we talked about this a couple weeks ago with the number one pick.
Yeah.
And you were adamant that you have, it's Cooper Flagg, you got to trade it. It's Giannis. And now the stance has changed.
Yeah. I told you, I've been thinking about this a lot.
You make this trade 10 times out of 10.
Okay.
Giannis is one of the greatest players in the history of the league.
I don't disagree with you. You might be right.
You're immediately contending for a title, and I have no clue how good Dylan Harper is going to be in the NBA. I think he's going to be good, but I have no clue.
The nature of the Spurs is to play the long game, not the short game.
That's absolutely what they do, yeah.
And if they don't want to go through another head coaching search quickly, and they want to give Mitch the opportunity to really develop.
Head coaches are a dime a dozen. I don't care about a head coach.
You love saying Mitch, don't
you? Mitch, I don't care. I mean, look, great Northwest guy, that's fine. I don't care about head coaches. I care about stars. Giannis, getting Giannis? Are you kidding me?
That's not the Spurs nature.
Okay.
One quickly, we might have to carry this over. What will the impact be?
Oh, actually, God bless the Magic gods. This is perfect to carry over. It's in regards to a local thing here. What is going to be the fallout from the massive news we found out not very long ago here locally?